antinomian, a $3 theological word that simply means somebody who doesn't believe the law is for them. They can simply live the way they choose because it's, well, it's all about grace. Well, today we get together here again in the book of Romans. We'll turn our attention back to chapter 15, verses 14 through 21. It's there that the Apostle Paul addresses people who think this way. It is his answer to the first antinomian controversy. And again, it's found here in Romans 15, verses 14 through 21. So take a few minutes and join us today as we begin to understand how grace and the law go together and why. With this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, here's Pastor Chris.
He says in verse 14, I know that I've written to you very boldly. Now, when you come to that, you think, well, what are the things he's thinking about that he was very bold about in Romans? If you were to summarize the heart of this epistle, what is the single great doctrine he worked to and worked from? One doctrine. It's justification by faith alone. That's the doctrine. It fills this epistle. He worked to it, and then he worked from it. And you'll remember in those first chapters to work to it. How hard was he? He leveled. He said, all your righteousness is just filthy. And he said, none of you is good. You know, and he says, and then he went after all the hypocrites, which a certain measure of hypocrisy fills everyone. You hypocrites, you look at the homosexuals out there, but God sees what you're doing. And then he really stripped righteousness. He really went after to make everyone feel uncomfortable. If you went through chapters 1 and 2 in the middle of chapter 3 and a pastor was preaching and never made you feel uncomfortable about sin, he didn't do his job. And he said, you practice such things are going to face judgment. Now, after doing that, what did he do? He then poured out and explained the escape. The way a sinner is right with God. And he said something that back in Romans chapter 3 that I can find it. This is it. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. I can't imagine the offense to Jews when they heard this. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all, for all, who believe, for there's no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift, apart from law, law keeping. He wrote real bold. This was bold writing, and he went on to show that Abraham was wicked. God justifies the wicked, and what two examples did he use? Abraham and David, of all people. That's bold stuff. And that God takes a filthy sinner and he clothes them in the righteousness of Christ. And guess what? He's doing it for the Gentiles. God justifies the ungodly Gentiles. Bold. And elsewhere, Paul was known as saying this. If anyone teaches you any other doctrine, let him be anathema. Cut off, a curse from God. So, to get people to there, you've got to have some measure of boldness, don't you? You can't just be the American nice guy. You have to be bold. And you're using the law as a weapon. And when you use the law as a weapon, you're doing it with the goal of doing what? Driving people to Jesus Christ. That's the goal. But see, people don't always understand that goal. And Paul would say that his goal in ministry in Colossians chapter 1 is that everyone would be presented perfect in Christ Jesus. That's the goal of gospel ministry. But people may along the way, as they're hearing all this confrontation, forget that that's the goal. And you may think that the pastor's insensitive. And I believe Paul's opening up here to the Romans after all of this. And he's saying, I know that I've been really bold in stripping you and making known your sin that you would be cast upon Christ. This is the heart of the book. And when a pastor does that, he may be misunderstood, or he may be characterized that he's not very soft or not very affectionate or not very loving to people. I believe Paul struggled with that. I found this in the biography of Donald Gray Barnhouse. He was an interesting guy. And I want to read something that is said there. Barnhouse says this. This was recorded. For all my life, I have faced the same psychological dilemma. When God established the genes and the chromosomes of my makeup, there was not put into the mixture anything of effervescence. That just simply means there's nothing bubbly about me. It's impossible for me to wear my heart on my sleeve. There's a little of John in me and a lot of Paul. There may be many Christians who have been accused of pride or arrogance or dogmatism, who know deep down in their hearts that they're seeking in every way possible to have the Lord Jesus Christ magnified in their being. They love with an intensity that hurts and which manifests itself in a hardness of attitude. Though at the same time, like Paul, they may say, I love, I pray without ceasing for you, God is my witness. I like that. I think that captures it a little bit. One of the great perceptions in preaching the doctrine of justification properly is that all that it takes to get there is that, and this can be an error, that God may begin to think, both God and the pastor may begin to think, one of the perceptions you may have is that you are absolutely worthless people. One of your perceptions in this may be that you begin to think, God and the pastor think that you're absolutely worthless and can do nothing. Well, in the doctrine of justification, you can't do anything to earn it. That's true. But Paul is essentially saying here, I had to show you how corrupt you are, sinful you are, to get you to him. But you need to understand something. All that boldness in doing that doesn't make me think less of you. When you receive Christ by faith, you have everything you need, but you need to know how I do think of you as believers. You need to understand that. You need to know how a pastor does view the flock. You need to know how God does see his people. I don't look at you as dead in trespasses and sins anymore. It's really powerful when you think about what he's saying here. I am looking at you as a church according to how you are as God's people. Simultaneously just and sinner, yes. But he says something beautiful. After all this instruction, what is the thing he says? I'm satisfied about you, my brothers, now listen to this, that you are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, able to instruct one another. Now, I am that confident that as a body, you are full of goodness. Whose goodness? God's goodness, sure. But it's goodness that he has brought to you. And as you are sanctified, that goodness is being acted out. I'm not preaching in a way as to make you doubt. Have you ever been under that? That there is a kind of preaching that really does. It holds out that, you know, God did his part, just maybe. You're not really a Christian. Unbelievers need to be confronted. Christians need to be confronted. But I also think it's important here to notice how God's people are being treated. God is my witness. Paul would say this, you know, here's my struggle. I want you to know, he said this in chapter 1, I pray for you. And I'm confident that you're full of goodness. You have hearts circumcised that the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I'm confident that these things are manifesting and showing themselves in you, that you have received a gospel that by which you are justified and now what is happening in you, these attitudes, these fruits of the Spirit are bearing fruit in you, I'm confident. I want you to know that, he says. I know you're full of good works. I see that. I'm confident, too, that you're filled with knowledge. This is really remarkable. The renewing of your minds, he talked about knowledge, that I believe that you as a church are constantly growing in the truth. You care about the truth a lot. You care about knowledge. You care about growing in understanding. That this whole idea that it's not about knowledge. No, I think positively of you, that you do care about knowledge and you do care about his word. You know, we can take a kind of attitude as pastors. Oh, they just don't get it. And I don't think we could ever assume all the time. I mean, we have to constantly teach and constantly teach these doctrines. But I can think you have a positive view of the Lord's working in the life of the church. And a positive view that God's people, of what was said in the new covenant, that the Spirit would work and help to understand and grow and know and be renewed in the truth. God's people are. That you're filled with knowledge. And I'm also confident that you're able to admonish one another. I know that you care so much about this that, you know, you will pull somebody aside and you will go to them and you'll hold them accountable and you will go after the wayward. I'm confident you would do this. And what a beautiful thing when a pastor sees these things in the life of a church. It's a beautiful thing that should be acknowledged. It's a beautiful thing that should be said because when we're preaching the heart of what we do, we're confronting sin and we're confronting people's ignorance. That has to happen. At times that will be uncomfortable, but this has to happen too. This encouragement has to happen too. Now, after this encouragement, he closes this here and he goes into an explanation of the nature and the goal of Christian ministry. Why is he doing this? There was one major charge against the Apostle Paul that he was constantly dealing with. Constantly had to fend off. You know what it was? It's that Paul was an antinomian. Constantly. He was running around, they said, preaching to these Gentile dogs that they don't have to keep the law. Antinomian, preaching justification apart from the deeds of the law to the Gentiles. The Judaizers were constantly banging him over the head with what they called a strange doctrine. That he was undermining the law of God, that he didn't love the law of God, that he was overturning the law of God with this strange doctrine of justification by faith alone. Free grace. That would produce, they all said, no drive to keep or honor the commandments of God. That was the charge. That charge flies around so loosely today. It's a great heresy if that's true. And no one should level it easily. Because not only is it serious, but to run around saying that somebody doesn't care about the law of God is to reject God himself. Martin Lloyd-Jones in his day said something powerful. There are many preachers who never preach justification by faith at all because they do not believe it. They regard the New Testament message as no more than an ethical system. They're always exhorting people to live better lives and to stop doing this and that. They apply this in a more general sphere, and so they're always making protests to governments and other powers. They talk unceasingly about applying the Christian ethic. We can say, without any hesitation, that such men are not preaching the gospel. That's a bold statement. Now, when you preach like that, and you say those kind of things, the common charge is going to be that you are killing any application and motivation for doing. It really doesn't matter. Jesus plus nothing is everything, so therefore, don't do anything. That charge, you know, when people say gospel, 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 Jesus, 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 that there is no interest in obedience, Paul wants to make the church understand that's not true. That is not true. He was falsely slandered for this. That was why the ministry of boldness he's dealing with. I have written more boldly by way of reminder. Look at verse 15. Because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. I'm doing all of this. Listen to what he says here. God, Christ pulled me out and he made me a minister to the Gentiles, specifically set apart to the Gentiles to preach this gospel. But then he uses a very provocative word here that I think is intentionally provocative to the Jewish listeners. I am doing this in the priestly service of the gospel. Whoa. What do you mean? Paul wasn't out offering up the blood of bulls and goats. Paul wasn't out offering animals for to make atonement for sin. The priestly service of the gospel? You're transferring the priestly service of the gospel to these dogs? What is the priestly service of the gospel? Verse 19, from Jerusalem, round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And then he says it again to make sure we get it. My aim is to preach the gospel. That's the priestly service. That's the priestly service. Gospel is this great news that God has given. And I am only speaking, verse 19, the things that he's accomplished. Did you notice this? I'm only going to talk about what he accomplished. That's what I am as a priest. I am making known him to the people. And Paul says this so many times in the New Testament. I know nothing among you to preach Jesus Christ, except to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, people today say, oh, what does that mean? You just preach Jesus and everything? No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, I preach Jesus alone as the way that somebody's right with God. And that is the heart of my message. That's the central part of my message. That's what I'm working with in my message. That's not boring, by the way. That's the most exciting thing I could ever do. Because I want to tell you now, says Paul, what happens when I do that? I'm not preaching Jesus plus good works. I'm not preaching him that way. Then he quotes Isaiah. When he was not accounted, they shall see. And those who have not heard, they shall... When he was not announced, excuse me, they shall see. And to those who have not heard, shall understand. Here's the heart of what he addresses, what he wants to say. It's as if he says, do you know what the fruit is of this? And this is where it all gets corrected right here. I have made a conscious choice in my ministry, and I want you to know it's priestly service, to preach the gospel free grace. Conscious choice. I do it everywhere. I speak only of his righteousness. Let me tell you what that produces. Let me tell you what that accomplishes. Everyone look at verse 16. He says it twice. I'm preaching the gospel of God so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. What offering? Well, that's Romans 12. Presenting their bodies as living sacrifices in the service of God. I am preaching this gospel so that when they come and serve in the kingdom, it's acceptable. Without it, it'll never be acceptable. See? And then he says something that everyone should highlight in verse 18. I am preaching the gospel to bring the Gentiles to obedience. That's not an antinomian. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3, that when we have the ministry of righteousness, there are fruits to that. What does it accomplish? It accomplishes justification. Somebody's declared righteous once and for all. And then he goes on right after that and says, but guess what the other fruit of that is, the other double blessing of that is? He says, we're being transformed more and more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the fruit of that. And then he goes on to say, so then I'm going to preach Christ. So the blessing of gospel ministry, the blessing of this message is it gives us both. And from that message flows this. It's going to produce this. It's a whole gospel that includes justification and sanctification when I preach him. And so at times Paul had to rebuke and convict and refute those who contradict. At times he was showing what the human nature was like in very strong language, what we're like before God. And Paul wanted this church to understand the whole goal of it. The whole goal of it is to lead them to the Savior. The whole goal of it is that they would be found in him, not having their own righteousness. The whole goal of it is that they would be sanctified by the Spirit as Christ is their all in all and shown in them. His life. That's the goal. That more and more we and you, as we preach this ministry, as we show forth the riches of him on the pages of Scripture, that you would be obedient. Sure, that's a goal. And Paul is saying we would love the law. As he said in chapter 2 and 3, that we would establish the law in our lives. That's why I will never forget your law. That's what we sang out tonight. That doesn't change. It's just now I'm redeemed and have an understanding with the law of God how to live. So Paul says, I won't think wrongly of you. So you know what? Don't think wrongly of my ministry to you. Isn't that beautiful? I won't think wrongly of you. Don't think wrongly of my ministry to you. My intention is the best for you. I can say that tonight. I can say that in good conscience. That's my intention for all of you, that you would enjoy the riches of what you have in Jesus Christ and that you would enjoy being his obedient children by the grace that you've received. You see, that's how Jesus is magnified in our lives for his glory. And then we can say, without sounding so arrogant, we have a real boast. I can talk about pride and boasting. Who is my boast in? Him. And that's the right kind of boast, isn't it? I hope you can share with me tonight a confidence in this ministry. Let that kind of trust be built between the pew and the pastor, and you will see a church full of people who are glorifying God in service with their bodies, presenting their bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, obedient children who've been called out by grace for his name and for his glory.
Well, we are out of time today, and we'll close today's program out. But look forward to seeing you next time we get together as we continue our studies here in God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon here on Abounding Grace. Questions, comments about the program, we always are delighted when you take a moment and reach out to us. You can do so by email, questions@agradio.org. Again, questions@agradio.org. Now, that may be the address, but you are more than welcome to send along suggestions, comments, praise reports, prayer requests, not just questions alone. Again, you can reach us at questions@agradio.org. You can learn more about us at agradio.org. Also, listen to past radio programs. Again, that's agradio.org. Or call us, 888-504-8805. Again, that's 888-504-8805. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Visit our website for those links to the platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. And then, as always, we are excited when our listening audience comes alongside of us financially, prayerfully, to help support the radio program. This is a listener-supported broadcast, and we are able to reach most of the United States as well as North Africa through your faithful partnership with us financially and prayerfully. We look forward to hearing from you and trust the Lord to direct you along those lines. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.